If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, I want to read one verse out of there. In Genesis, the first chapter, in verse 16. And this is talking about the creation when the Lord is forming the earth and all the elements of it. And in verse 16, it says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." If I back up a couple verses, I guess I should have started in verse 14. These two great lights are the sun and the moon, and it speaks of them in verse 14. It says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." And so here we see the account of God creating the sun and the moon, and there's a purpose to him creating those. He says, these great lights that I'm creating are going to be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And when you think about, specifically this morning, when you think about seasons, obviously we're in the spring of the year, and it's a refreshing time. Everybody usually really enjoys the spring. And, you know, if you ever, especially some of you younger ones, if you ever wonder, like, why does, spring all of a sudden turn into summer, and why does summer all of a sudden turn into fall, and fall turns into winter? And when the Lord created these great lights, he created the sun specifically, talking about this morning, and then he creates the earth. And so the Lord takes the earth, and imagine it this way, he spins the earth. And the earth begins to rotate on an axis. That axis is not straight up and down. That axis is tilted just a little bit. So the earth doesn't rotate like this. It rotates a little bit on a cant there, because that's the Lord put it that way.
Right.
And so as most of you, I'm not a huge science guy, but I do remember that, I hope I got this right, that, you know, the earth rotates upon that axis every 24 hours. And so as we're here on this point, and we rotate around every 24 hours, that's why we have night and day.
Right.
But the earth is also rotating around the sun about every 365 days. So when the Lord took the earth and he spun it and it began to spin, he also set it in motion to go around the earth. And as it does that, maybe this is if you imagine this being the sun, I said earth, I meant sun, this being the sun, he started to spin the earth, and let's say that earth is tilted this way, and maybe the North Pole's here. Well, as it rotates around the sun, it's further from the earth, from the sun here, but as it rotates around the sun, now all of a sudden it's closer. And as that process takes place, the distance from the sun increases and decreases, and so we have a change in our seasons. Now, there is no way, and I hate to be ugly about this, I hate to call anybody foolish, but if you think that just happened,
right. That
is foolish.
Right.
There is no way that something just happened and made the earth rotate around its own axis and the axis and around the sun and all to create these seasons of spring, summer, fall, and winter.
Right.
And you realize if that were not the case, if we didn't have these different seasons, just our economy and the way we live would be drastically different. I don't even know that we could have survived. I don't know that if years and years, now we got a lot of modern things today, but years and years ago, I don't know that we could have ever survived if there wasn't a summer and a spring for growing things to eat. And if you think about that, if it was winter all the time, how much that would change our economy. But the Lord knew what he was doing when he set the earth in motion and he put it around the sun. And he says, one of the reasons I'm doing that is going to be for seasons. And so now we realize we're coming into a new season. Now, I want to compare the seasons that we experience here. I want to compare that to our own life. This has been heavy on my mind lately for some reason, and I want to go back, and hopefully I can get through most of this today. I want to compare the seasons that we experience, summer, spring, and all that stuff, to the seasons that we have in life. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the Bible speaks about there's a time and a season for everything. You can go read that, and it gives a long list. You know, there's a time to plant, there's a time to harvest, and it speaks about seasons of life in Ecclesiastes. And we're also compared to, you know, you think about spring, you think about all these trees out here that are that are putting on the leaves and blooming and budding, and we watch that process go and how those leaves change from spring to summer to winter, to fall and to winter. And the Bible describes us as many different things, but it describes us also as being leaves. The Bible says that we all do fade as a leaf. And the Bible says that, you know, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower. And it says all those things, the grass and the flower, it says they all wither and they all fade. And so when the Bible compares us to different types of growth, whether it be a flower or a leaf, we can see and look at those things and how the seasons affect those things. And really, you can see a very good comparison to our own life. Now, when you think about the spring, which is the season that we're in, all these trees, they're pretty full now. But as spring begins to come along, you see very young, tender shoots come out of trees and out of the ground. And maybe you plant a garden and you plant some things and you go out there one day and you see little tiny shoots coming up of the things that you're planting. And in that particular season in spring, most of those very young, tender things are impressionable. They're something that you have to put a lot of love into and a lot of attention to and a lot of care into. You can't be rough with them. You know, if you go out and you want to plant, something in your garden, and it begins to come up and it's just very little. If you want that, you know, let's say you planted a tiny little tree that you wanted to grow. If you want that tree to grow and kind of grow out sideways like that, you can make it do that. You can stake it in the ground, and as it grows, you can tie it and let it start growing that way and let the roots develop. You can take that tree or that plant, you can do a lot of things to it because it's very young, it's very tender, and it's very impressionable. And they need a lot of love and tender at that age. And, and obviously, when you think of that, you think of the young people in life, the spring of life. We've got little ones in here, right? Little ones in here that are in the spring time of their life. They're very tender, they're very young, they're very impressionable, and it is much easier to teach and to guide those children in the spring of their life into down a certain road, down a certain path. And I caution you on that, especially if you have little ones, because the Lord takes very seriously the neglect or abuse of those that are in the spring of life. Okay? So parents of young ones, think about that. I've got a young tender shoot before me, and as it's growing, it is my job to make sure that that gets all the tenderness, all the love, all the attention that it needs to grow up into the next stage of life. Which, when you think about the seasons, what comes after spring? That's the summer. As the summer comes along, you'll notice those young tender shoots, they begin to mature and they're much more hardy. They're much more resistant to certain things and tougher. And usually summer for us, especially in Alabama, summer can be some of the longest, hottest days that we experience, right? And so maybe there's a young person that, and maybe you're raising a young child and they're in the spring of their life, and you know, you're giving them a lot of attention and time, and as they grow, you notice they get much more resilient to things. They are able to fend for themselves in a lot of ways. You know, I can remember thinking when our children were in car seats, I thought, man, if we could ever get out of car seats, you know, having to get them out, put them in that car seat, and buckle it, and just, oh, somebody's coming to get them, let's take the car seat out. I don't know why, that just seemed like a huge burden. I thought, if we could ever get out of car seats, that would be great. You know, then it gets to be like, if they could ever get to where, you know, they can just, fix a snack for themselves. Wow, that'll be great. And you watch as those young, tender shoots grow, they become much more independent and they can do things for themselves. And, you know, whereas in the spring of life, they fall down and they scrape their knee and there's not really even a scrape there, but they cry and they need you. When they grow a little bit and they go more into the summer of life, they're a little tougher, are they not? And as you get further into the summer, maybe when you're an adult and you're beginning to bring the shoots forth of your own, sometimes those days can be long. I know in our life right now, I don't know where I would really put myself, but maybe late summer. late summer right now, you think about August, you know how long those days are, just how much sunlight we have. And now with four children, and they're busy and they're active, there are lots of days that we don't get home till 9 o'clock at night. Because we, you know, there's horse shows, there's baseball, there's different things going on. They're long days, right? But they're great days, don't misunderstand me. But a lot of times in the summer, you notice as you grow children, you'll notice this, in the spring of life, there's a lot of playtime. But then when the summer comes of your life, that play turns into work. And you're no longer running around the neighborhood or with your friends or your cousins, and you're just ripping kind of carefree in the spring of your life. Work will eventually come. And your play turns into work. Shortly after that, you will notice fall will come. And I think about this. Maybe I'm in the fall of my life. I don't know. Those tender leaves that came out in the springtime, and as the summer came, they get very hardy and they're tougher. But then there comes a point in time where, because of the seasons that God ordained, those leaves begin to get a little brittle and they begin to change colors, right? Some of them begin to fall. And so sometimes I look in the mirror, and I don't say this to be humorous. I'm saying this to prove a point that what I'm saying is true. That sometimes I look in the mirror and I can see that some of my leaves are starting to change color. And some of them are starting to turn loose. And again, I'm not saying that to be funny. I'm saying that to prove that point. That the Bible describes us as we all fade as a leaf. And I have been in the springtime of my life where I had very carefree days, and I was young and impressionable and tender, and I've grown and I've matured, and I've gone into more of the early summers of my life where the play turned into work, and the days got busy, and then we you know, you're married with children, and then the days get long with all the activities you have, and then things maybe start to change a little bit again. And you start to notice I'm a little more brittle than I used to be. And the leaves of my head are beginning to change colors. And they're beginning to start to slowly fall to the ground. Now, you might start to think, and I kind of hope you do, this sounds a little depressing. Because I notice as I maybe am entering into the fall of my life, I begin to reflect a little bit. Maybe y'all do too. You reflect back to, you know, man, I can remember when I was 10, 15, 20. I can remember those days, and I can remember the spring of my life and the summer of my life, and those things are gone. They're gone. I'll never go back in this life to be in the spring or summer of my life again. Those things are gone. You think, God, that's so depressing, especially when you think about I'm beginning to get brittle and my leaves are changing and they're starting to fall to the ground. But then the winter comes. And in the wintertime, our days are pretty short. And in the wintertime, often we're less active. There's much more time for us at home in the wintertime than there is in the spring and summertime. Because there's not as much going on. Things slow down. Sometimes the days can be very cold and dark and stormy. A lot of times, especially for us men, the leaves have fallen and are gone. You notice in the wintertime, and this is proven, that depression increases significantly. And when you look across, maybe a hardwood hillside in the spring and summer, the leaves begin to green and grow, and it's just vibrant with color. And then in the fall, it's beautiful. But when the winter comes, even though there's some life there, all the leaves have fallen off, and it's a cold, dark, dreary day, and everything appears to be lifeless. Does it not? How does that compare to the winters of our life? In the winters of our life, we're much less active. We see depression rates increase significantly with age. A lot of times there's sadness there as they reflect back on the things that have been but won't be again. A lot of times there's life there, but it appears lifeless sometimes. Are you following me?
Yeah.
That's kind of sad to me. It's kind of sad to think about that because I look out across this congregation and we've got spring, summer, fall, and winter all right here.
Right.
We've got some of those that are young and impressionable. We've got some of those whose winters have come. And my winter is on its way. Brother Tim's winter is on its way. Activity decreases. Sadness can sneak in. Struggles can sneak in. And that's sad to me. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, it is a beautiful picture of growing old. And in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, it says this in verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." That's somebody speaking of the winter of their life.
Yeah.
In the winter of their life, they say, the years are drawing nigh, and I just don't have the pleasure that I used to have. It says, "While the sun or the light of the moon or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." That's kind of a way of saying there's not another season coming. You understand? You see, God put the seasons in motion. But when it comes to our age and it comes to growing old, it's saying there's coming a day when the sun, who is the keeper of the seasons, will grow dark. And there's not another season coming. And then it says, "In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble." What's the keepers of your house? That's your hands. What has combed your hair, brushed your teeth, washed your body, put on your makeup? What has done all those things for you? What has bandaged your wounds? What has applied medicine? It's the keepers of your house. These things keep us. And the Bible says there comes a day in the winter of our lives when those things begin to tremble. And it says, "Strong men shall bow themselves." You think about, you know, when I see people come into the office one day, some days, a lot of these guys, they'll have like a Vietnam vet hat or some kind of hat on that signifies they were in a war. And I think to myself, and they're old and they stoop over and they're so frail. But I think to myself, in their prime, they were probably 10 times tougher than I was. But the winter has come for them and they've begun to bow themselves over. And the grinder ceased because they are few. Your teeth become worn out. Sometimes they fall out. Sometimes I take them out. And those that look out the windows be darkened. You begin to lose your eyesight. The doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of grinding is low. Opportunity fades. Go into a business as a 70-year-old person and try to apply for a job, and sometimes they're going to say, we're looking for somebody younger. Opportunity is closed. The sound of grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low because he can't hear. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears be in the way, the almond tree, which is the hair, shall flourish because the almond buds are white. The grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. I already noticed that in myself. The things that I used to be so excited and zealous about, they don't stir me like they used to.
Right.
And I think, man, in 20 years, will I even care about the things that I would have cut my leg off for when I was 20? Desire fails. Or ever the silver cord be loosened and the golden bowl be broken. That's a picture of your spinal cord and your brain. Our mental faculties begin to fail. The pitcher be broken and the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. That is a picture of somebody in the winter of life. And you could say, how depressing that is. You could say, my goodness, to know that I fade as a leaf, to know that I am just grass that withers and the flower, like the flower that withers, to know that I go from being young and impressionable and carefree into the summer where I'm growing my own family and I've got responsibilities, to know that, and there's so much love and excitement and joy and all the things that are going on and all the activities. And then as time goes by, I begin to get a little more brittle and I have more, I'm reflecting more than I am looking forward because I've got more time behind me than I do in front of me. And I notice my body gets brittle and the leaves begin to change and the leaves begin to fall out. And then one day, it's already there for you, for some of you, but one day the keepers of my house may start to tremble. And I may not see and I may not hear as good as I used to. And I'm in the winter of my life and sadness and depression begin to sneak in. And that's the last season. In the book of Job, in verse 14, it says this: if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. That's our whole life is change. Everything changes. And then it says, thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to work the work of thy hands. Thou shalt call. All right, he says, here's the deal. There's coming a time that my winner is going to get the best of me. And he says, if I die, shall I live again? And he says, I'm just going to wait till my change comes. And he says, you're going to call me. You're going to call me when I am consumed with this winter and my season is almost over. It says, you're going to call. And I want to look for just a second with what time I've got left at that call. In the Song of Solomon, it says this. In the second chapter, it says, this is the call. It says, my beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away, for lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. In the book of Revelations, it speaks of heaven. And it says in heaven that there is no need for the sun, which is the keeper of the seasons, because the Lord is the light and the glory thereof. Amen. And so while we may struggle in this life with our winter, there's a time coming when the Lord is going to call us by name and say, rise up and come with me, because your winter is past. And where I'm taking you, there is nothing that changes the seasons. And the Bible says that I'm giving you an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Everything in this life on this side of heaven fades. Everything. But when he tells us to come with him, he's taking us to a place where there is no change in the season. And he is giving us something that doesn't fade. And so while it may be sad and depressing to think about the changing of the seasons of our life here, I would say, maybe you can maybe say it this way: there's a season after winter, and that is what you can call the season of salvation. And when we sing the song Amazing Grace, and when it says, when we've been there for 10,000 years, that we are no closer to the end than the day we first stepped into heaven. Because the Lord's salvation is sure, and it's kept.
Yes.
I hope that's been encouraging to you.
Amen.
Because my winter will come, but there's also some people that we all love dearly who are in their winters.
Yeah.
But that's not the end.
Amen.
I hope that's been comforting to you.
Amen.